All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, I want to talk about the border quickly. Here we are again, and yet it's the same battle. How come we can't fix in this nation things that really we allow to fester and get to be major, and yet we can solve or attempt to solve all the rest of the world's problems, but we can't solve problems in our own backyard? How come we continue to face this battle at the border, where, you know, that there are people who clearly is what is it, 42?
The declaration of health hazard that was the result
of COVID,
which
Donald Trump basically said that all of those people had to wait in Mexico because they couldn't, they would be in danger of bringing COVID.
Right, so that expires on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And apparently then the question is, what is the policy at the border that will survive after the Title 42 expires? And
there's going to be a flood they're anticipating. My thing again, Sandy, is, well, why do we wait till now?
Well, I mean, it obviously is a complex issue, but, you know, George Bush II, during his administration, tried to line up his party and tried to get a bipartisan solution to what was then a border problem. Everyone has understood that there's a massive influx of potential immigrants coming from the South, and could not garner support from his party, and therefore couldn't come up with a bipartisan solution to it. And there was quite a bit of work done on it at that time. Clearly, the parties must look at this from very different directions. But there's nobody that won't acknowledge that there's some issues, problems associated with the handling of immigrants at the South border. And so this is just a clear symptom of the total gridlock in Washington. And we've got both parties saying there's a problem, but the parties can't even sit in the same room and seem to talk about it other than pointing fingers. One side, you know, since Trump, saying let's build a wall and let's basically keep everybody from coming in, and the other side with different policies speaking about, you know, humaneness and openness of America to the need for refugees and immigrants to be able to enter the country. Meanwhile, our foreign policies seem to ignore the problems in the Southern Hemisphere, which create this horde of people that try to come. You know, Honduras and some of these countries are experiencing terrible vacuums in their government, terrible Haiti, Honduras, terrible poverty, problems that the United States could be addressing instead of addressing problems in the other hemispheres, instead of potentially sending, you know, $100 billion in the direction of Ukraine. We could be focusing attention on the fire we have burning, you know,
at your own border in your backyard.
Yeah, the house is burning south of the border.
So what's driving immigration? Poverty, violence, lack of economic opportunities for sustainable livelihoods, food insecurity among the top reasons immigrants say that they are leaving Central America.
But in many respects, those problems are the result of a deeper problem, which is the lack of the rule of law and the lack of cogent governments in the countries in which they reside. And so there's so much rampant corruption, so much inattention to the needs of the people in their countries that these people are fleeing. You know, maybe 200 years from now, we'll all be fleeing America because our government process has stopped paying attention to the needs of the people.
So this kind of coincides with what you were saying. Common reasons for immigration to the U.S., better work opportunities, better living conditions, better education, safety from persecution and violence, reunification with family in the U.S., marriage, better economic output, growth, better workforce. So clearly those nations can't fix those things on their own. And it is an issue that these issues are going to have to be addressed. At least you're not going to stop people from coming to this nation. This is not going to end. And as long as they feel that this is an opportunity, and not only that, the fact that these people are needed, it would be a different story altogether if these people weren't needed in this country. Clearly, we all know, whatever side you're on, if you're on the side of build the wall, you also have to realize our nation needs to have some of these people in order for there to be a future for our nation. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. So,
well, incidentally, Earl, migrations of people and immigration across the world has become a world problem. And in many respects, every time there's a war, every time there's a famine, every time there are things going on that create desperation on the part of people, we have massive movements. There were massive movements out of the Middle East into Europe, much of which has fomented social unrest and political unrest in the countries of Europe. And there's almost as much hue and cry in Europe about immigration and the problems of immigration as we have here in this country. And so we all ought to recognize that the things that we do outside of our country has a great deal of impact on the people. We have an 8 billion person world now, and the 8 billion people creates instability and creates the need for migrations and immigration. And so one of the things that's predicted out of this growth in the world population, as well as the climate change, is massive migrations of people from one place to another, which creates political unrest. We're watching it happen right here in the United States.
So here's, again, Sandy, what I don't understand from the American people's perspective, not our government. How can you continue to be outraged at what's going on in Afghanistan, but you won't be outraged at what's going on in Guatemala? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, people want us to do something about Afghanistan. You know, whatever it is, do something. But same thing, similar things are happening there. But we don't want to talk about the things down there.
Well, and the things down there actually have direct sort of linear collateral effects on the United States. When things are terrible and essentially unsustainable within a country, people will leave that country and they'll migrate to a place of greater opportunity. You know, America's quite a magnet in that regard. People don't leave countries easily. They're leaving their families, their cultures, their backgrounds. We ought to understand that just because there's more opportunity in America won't cause a family to pick up and leave where they're from and leave their culture behind. People leave when they're experiencing desperation. And so desperation is something that America's foreign policy can deal with. And the American public seems to want to meddle in other countries that are experiencing problems. We ought to be doing far more of that in our hemisphere and relating to the problems of our hemisphere, because it relates to collateral problems here in the United States, our border problem, which is a significant issue.
So here we are again. In a matter of days, something's going to have to happen, right? And you just wonder, all of this time, what were we doing? Well, we know this is going to run out. This time is going to run out, and so all these people are going to be released. They're coming. We knew this was coming, Sandy. Our government was aware of it. It's a failure of our government, and the American people should be outraged when the government fails because it didn't work, couldn't work together, right? I mean, you can't on the one hand say those people are coming here and we're sick of those people coming when the government didn't prepare to address it.
Well, I think what the government has failed to do is come up with a reasonable solution, right? We have this sort of binary situation. We had the Trump administration trying to slam the door altogether, which was a very difficult answer to the problem on the border because of what would be going on at the door then at that point when you slam it. And we have the other side of the coin, which was trying to deal with some kind of more moderate solution, but without the laws in place to deal with that, what's happened is that the law we have in place isn't built to deal with the problem that is in place. And so when you try to implement the law in some kind of moderate fashion, you get taken to court and it's determined that you can't do it that way. You can't, for instance, exercise prosecutorial discretion across the board and say we're only gonna deport people who have actually committed crimes based on their actual danger. Well, now the courts say, well, you can't actually exercise that kind of prosecutorial discretion across the board. So what we need, obviously, is for Congress to address this and develop the laws that can be used, that can implement a reasonable solution to the problem. And that's where we failed.
And as you state, what we need to have done, Sandy, this has been going on for decades now.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when we get to a point where the quote-unquote number one government in the world can't even fix a problem like this, right? But yet we are in other people's business and trying to deal with and tell them what they should be doing.
Well, I mean, Congress, when George Bush II put together his bipartisan group to try and examine how to solve this problem, it was viewed as a crisis at that point, which was in about 2002, 2003. So that's over 20 years ago. The crisis has been allowed to exist. I dare say that Congress has enacted nothing in the interim. The Congress hasn't been able to get together and pass really any material laws whatsoever to solve the situation, which was identified as a problem of the laws in place in the year 2000.
So hold the thought. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. That's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. You can text us at that same number. Here's a blast. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And here's a blast from the past. Dave from Mequon. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Really quickly, Sandy's correct that this has been ongoing. Actually, it's been ongoing way before George Bush. It's been ongoing for 40-some years.
Now, how come we can't fix it, Dave?
Or so.
Dave, how come we can't fix it?
Because you got too many people that really don't want it fixed. That's the reality of it.
So who doesn't want it fixed? No,
well, for a long time, I think both parties did not want it fixed for different variety of reasons. And now we have currently today, essentially, where I think the Republican Party is trying to trying to do something about it. But then at the end of the day, you have, like I said, you look at the mayor of El Paso, Texas, and he's declared a state of emergency. And he has shipped more migrants than the Republican Greg Abbott has in the state of Texas, the governor there. And New York City now, I think they're up to 35,000 people. And the mayor Adams has requested $1 billion to try to take care of the crisis going on in New York City. And so not only do you have that going on, but then you have, you know, in Arizona, you've got it in New Mexico, you got it in California.
Hey, Dave, how come they how come they haven't been able to come up with an immigration policy, both Democrats and Republicans, in 40 years? That's not just on the Democrats,
well,
but the both of them.
That's something you have to ask our, you know, Tammy Baldwin.
No,
and Ron
Tammy
Johnson's
Baldwin hasn't been around for 40 years.
I think that.
Well, she's been there for a while.
So has
Ron Johnson.
Yes.
And so what I would say is that the people in Congress, we should be questioning them as to why this has not been done, because I certainly have my reasons for not getting it done, but what is the reasons from them? They're the ones who are supposed to be taking care of this, and there doesn't seem to be any interest in doing it whatsoever.
Well, I would agree with you, Dave. I don't know why everyone's turning their back on it. Everyone does recognize that the laws in place are not adequate to deal with it. The Democrats have tried to deploy the laws in the way they would like them deployed, or at least, and the courts have said, no, the laws can't be bent that way. And the laws, mm-hmm. if they aren't bent that way, create a very difficult process at the border. And so obviously there needs to be new laws put in place. And that was recognized by George Bush with a bipartisan commission that he put together in the early 2000s. So it is a question, but to me it's symptomatic. We've got a lot of issues in Washington that need to be addressed and need to be addressed by legislation, and we have bipartisan gridlock. People can't agree. They can't agree on immigration. They can't agree on anything. The only thing they've agreed upon is a tax code that's filled with all kinds of pork, and every time it gets changed, it gets tweaked. You know, the one-year depreciation change is very, very dramatic, okay? And it's a huge shift in benefit towards people who operate businesses. And incidentally, they used to have the investment tax credit, which was aimed at giving a credit to people who made investments and assets. And we dropped that because so many of the assets that they were purchasing weren't made in the United States. And so it no longer had this positive impact on the U.S. economy. Well, the one-year depreciation is really another version of that tax credit, and it's not going to have a great impact on the U.S. economy either, and in fact, we found out it didn't. It created a huge trove of cash for many corporations, and that trove of cash wasn't used for reinvestment so much as it was used for buying back stock and other things.
The other thing I was going to say, the one thing that has been bipartisan is increasing the military spending exponentially.
Yes, I know. We talked about that earlier.
And so you do have that. But when it really comes down to the meat and potato end of things with what we have going on, no, all these things are not being addressed. And because there is gridlock, it's getting worse. And it has an impact on all of us in a lot of bad ways, just for the simple reason that you have to house all these people, you have to clothe them, you have to feed them, and you got, I mean, huge amount of resources.
Dave, there's also an issue that we're going to need many of those people. You know, it would be a completely different story if our nation didn't need many of those people to come in and make sure that our economy works. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, you know that there aren't enough Americans to take the jobs that are out here.
I think robotics is going to have a huge impact. I mean, that's
it could be, but the workers that we're talking about are the ones who are doing landscaping and hanging a wallboard and doing a whole bunch of jobs that robots will never do. And that's really the component of society that's being filled in our socioeconomic situation by many of the immigrants. But The other thing about immigration is that the United States currently, I think, has slipped below replacement rate for our population growth of indigenous people who are living in America. And the only growth in population we've had for a number of decades now has been through immigration. And you can look around the world and see that, I mean, I'm not sure this is good for the world, but economically speaking, countries that have stagnant or negative growth rates of their population suffer economically materially. So it will be bad for our economy.
Dave, hang on.
Hang on.
Lou from Cudahy, hang on. We'll come to you two on the other side. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Monday. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
What's really amazing is I watch the highway workers.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. These people do not work hard.
Take a look at yourself. Take a look at yourself. Take one big look. Take a look at yourself. Take a look at yourself. Take a look at yourself. Take one big look. Take a look at yourself.
You came up short, man. That's right. Yes, just one time too many. Don't try to get too friendly. Nah. I shouldn't give you any. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You know, we're talking about the problem at the border that just won't go away. Because, you know, we can't get Democrats and Republicans to come to grips with it. And it's been going on for the better part of 40 years. And so, you know, here we are again. We're at the doorstep, and the crisis is unfolding. Let's go to Lou from Cudahy. Good morning, Lou.
We have invasion. The new number from the administration is that 5,500,000 is the count of people who've been let in by Biden. And my question was going to be, how are you guys going to spin it? Well, you answered that when you said we want these immigrants to fill these jobs. We don't have immigrants. We've got invaders. And when this Title 42 expires out in a couple of days, there's tens of thousands at the border. They're all lined up waiting to invade.
What's your definition of an invader? You know,
people who are
definition of an invader.
Quiet.
Wait a minute.
My definition is people who don't have our documentation.
I don't care what your definition is. You're not going to tell me to be quiet on my show.
On your show.
And I don't care if you ever call back. But let's get that clear first. This is not your show, and you're not going to tell me to be quiet, okay? I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak like I do everybody.
Cut me off in mid-sentence. It's very disrespectful.
Yes, because I'll tell you what's disrespectful. Any talk show host will cut somebody off in mid-sentence, but I'm not going to have you tell me to be quiet. Now, you can respond.
Well, I'm not going to be cut off like that, Earl.
I'll cut you off now, and you don't ever have to call back. So don't tell me what you won't be. I'll give you a chance to respond. Earl,
Democrats have always done stuff to damage this country, and this damages it immeasurably. The fentanyl, the human trafficking, and it's okay with Democrats because Joe Biden has removed all these stops that would make us safer. It's also a threat to national safety and security when you have these terrorists coming across the border. Now, what's your response, Earl?
Well, number one, if you think it's that simplistic, the question becomes, it's been going on for 40 years. And to say that it's Joe Biden's issue shows the fact that you are just unaware and don't have the capacity to understand the problem. Because if you could understand the magnitude of the problem, you would know it didn't just occur in the last 2 years. It's disingenuous of you or uninformed of you to simplify it to the degree that it's only been over the last 2 years that this has been a problem. Sandy, you want to respond?
Joe Biden,
Well, I don't, you know.
Joe Biden, yeah.
And this, I mean, the discussion here is so fired with, I don't know, self-serving arguments and without looking at addressing the problem. First of all, I don't know where you got 5.5 million from. I've just been looking at every different source, and I can't find a number higher than 2.7 million, which would be half of the number you described. And that includes illegal and legal crossings. But secondly, you know, the words you use to describe something demonstrate a bias coming into it. I mean, we have a problem, but whether these people are, you know, I think you on an earlier call suggested that these people were coming, were going to be armed, and were actually going to be insurrectionists to take over the country. And there's no fact basis to suggest that there's any such underlying danger from the these immigrants, other than the fact that they're coming in seeking a better life and seeking to work. Now, do Earl and I, and does everyone agree that there's a problem on this to the border? Absolutely. I think, does everyone in Washington agree that the laws currently in place are not adequate to deal with it? Absolutely. And so, you know, has Washington failed to solve the problem? Yes. Has the Biden administration failed to solve the problem? Yes. Did the Trump administration fail to solve the problem? Absolutely. Their answer, a wall, was not going to solve the problem in the long run, and it wasn't going to modify the laws to make them subject to being implemented in a fashion that would work. So, you know, we have a legal mess. And we have a Washington that can't deal with it. And one can point the finger only in both directions, not in one direction.
I think you're quite wrong on that, Sandy. Trump put up this Title 42 thing, which was a health protection. And number two, he put in place this Remain in Mexico program. And now Mr. Biden has erased both of those, right?
Just a minute. Biden did not erase Title 42. A court did, and a court said that the health emergency can only last as long as there is a factually based health emergency, and it determined that there wasn't one. So, no, it's not true what you said. But in any case, I don't think we need to discuss it much longer. I think you've identified where you sit on the issue. And I think that the main issue that we've got is a Washington that won't come to grips with the problem on anything like a bipartisan basis. Title 42
Trump
was the Title
Trump
40
came
the,
to grips with it, and he also had order on the border. We had the thing under control. And Democrats as a class of people, as a demographic, do not like America and do everything they can to dump all over the rule of law.
Well,
and
the sovereignty of the country. That's what you guys do for a living. Well, I think that's a totally inflammatory comment, and I think it's suggestive.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's totally suggestive of what is maybe going to drive this country to a civil war. If we believe that the other party is going to ruin the country and is un-American, it creates grounds for any sort of conflict that would support defeating that other party from ever taking control, because of the fact that you would believe that that party taking control will destroy America and it is un-American.
When you and your side collapse the rule of law and endorse it and do things to make it come about and continue it, that's a problem for most Americans.
Wait a minute. My side. I don't know what my side is. But secondly, the rule
you're
of law.
Left. You're a leftist.
Well, I don't know. I've not been accused of
you
being a leftist.
Where has the rule of law been collapsed by the Democrats?
The rule of law is all these people coming across the border without identification, without vetting,
What about something as fundamental as the January 6th?
Do you need to ask me that question? Come on.
One of the things, Lou, that I tell people constantly is that the real threat in this country is inside the country, is not from outside of it. And so when people talk like you, and when people do what happened on January 6th, and when the FBI says that the real threat to this nation is from within, clearly you make statements the way you make them that a lot of people like you And so there can't be any reasonable dialogue because you come on and right away you point the finger and say, you Democrats, and you're the reason that things are the way they are. As if somehow Republicans and conservatives have not caused any problems at all in the society, and everything they say and do is 100% correct. Because that's what you're implying.
Here's the question. Who is the president right now, a Democrat?
I don't even know how we can continue the conversation. Thank you very much for the call. Excuse me. You know, Sandy, I don't even know how... He does represent a segment of this country, and it's a, a segment of this country, I'm sorry, it's a segment of this country that we can't seem to get to see things.
Well, I think the most troublesome thing that Lou says, and that people, I guess, who might agree with Lou would say, is that leftists, which apparently is people who don't agree with him, our enemies of America and our intent on tearing apart America, because that is the rhetoric that leads to the notion that any and all steps need to be taken to keep them, the left, from seizing America, which is, in fact, the rationale for the Proud Boys and for the January 6th insurrection, which is we need to stop Joe Biden from acceding to the presidency because the Democrats in charge will destroy America. And you know, it's one thing to disagree with the policies and say, you know, we think America will be better off in this circumstance than in that circumstance. But to take the position that the other party is intent on destroying America is to essentially accuse those people of being seditionists.
You know, Sandy, in just listening to Lou, he doesn't appear to be much older than 30. And so he's talking about things without having a clear understanding, I think, at all about the nation, about what's in the best interest of the nation. He's singularly focused on us against them. And what we're talking about is that there's got to be a coming together of both Democrats and Republicans to fix what's going on in this country. Not that it's, you know, the Democrats are the enemy. And clearly that's Lou's mentality. He's not alone. But he can't even see that there has to be a coming together at some point in time. Lou, that's why it's called the United States of America. And so, you know, if there's been a separation of the states of America, I'm not aware of it. You may know better than I. But Sandy, he can't even see that what's going on at the border is going to require an agreement by both Democrats and Republicans in order to make it work.
Well, I mean, I guess his conclusion is that the Trump policy of building the wall and slamming the door was somehow would fell within the laws and that somehow that the situation was under control under Trump. Clearly, it wasn't under control. That there was a festering sore that was going to continue to fester, and the conditions in these other countries forcing the migrations has become exacerbated over the last while. But I just think it's troublesome for us to talk and to have rhetoric of the nature. It's really beyond even McCarthyism. McCarthy at least thought he had to find out that you were a communist before he could decide that you were going to destroy America. Of course, McCarthy's definition of what constituted a communist was a rather broad one. And I know that Lou, when he called in earlier, suggested that I and the station were Marxists without, I don't think, understanding exactly what a Marxist is or was. And apparently that I am and the station represents leftists, and leftists with a capital L that has some hidden definition that also makes it un-American. But I think that's the problem more than the initial discussion about the border itself. I think what we have to do is make sure that we structure our conversations with one another without accusing whoever it is that is sitting on the other side of the table arguing with us of being un-American. That's the kind of argument that is basically happens.
That's the danger.
It happens in the family when someone says, "That's just like you," and then they march out of the room. You know, it's end of discussion.
You know, Sandy, I had a guy on last week from Texas, and he was my guest, and he was a national spokesperson for Gun Owners of America. And he said that he was down at the border. And he was down, remember, Connor? He was down with his, we'll talk about it after the break. Gotta go to a break. But he sounded a lot like Lou. I bet Lou was down there with him. Gotta go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams, and you too can join the conversation. Let's go to line one and Tom from West Dallas. Hey, good morning, Tom. How are you? You say what?
Good morning. How are you guys today?
We're fine.
Excellent. So two things. One, the gentleman who called in before who was talking about terrorists coming over, I really believe that Trump created a bunch of terrorists, which in probably another 10 or so years we're going to have, when he went and ripped families completely apart and no one knew where anybody was. You don't think that's going to really upset a lot of people and create a lot of anger towards this country? That definitely will. He created terrorists. Also, I also believe that this stuff doesn't get taken care of because it excites their base. It's kind of like abortion. Now all of a sudden, oh, we did something about abortion. Now what? You know, is the way I see it, because now the Republicans lost because they actually did something. But before, when they were threatening to do it, that excited their base, that kept their votes coming, that kept money coming in. It was a money-making thing. And I believe the same thing with immigration. It's a money-making thing for both sides to keep the public riled up and not do anything about it.
Do you really think at the root of it is that? I mean, you know, it is. I mean, really, you think that's what's at the root of it?
I don't want to think that, but, you know, after a while, 40 years of screwing around, why? Why don't you do something about it? What is keeping you from doing this? And I really believe money drives politics. And if you upset, if you keep your base upset about, like, how this other guy's all wound up about all these people coming over, well, that's a vote for them.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I'll let you respond. Let's take Rocky from Madison first. Hey, good morning, Rocky. How you doing? You say what?
Good morning. Two things. One, I absolutely agree with what you and Sandy have been saying for the last 10 minutes. But the more important thing is I'm in my 60s, and I remember when Reagan changed the laws and he stopped prosecuting employers. And that's when all the problems really started with immigration. I was in the trades quite a bit, and we all had jobs, and all of a sudden everybody was showing up from Mexico and whatnot, and we no longer had to report any of that to the government. So we could pay them almost nothing. And you can probably carry that into a number of other industries, the meat packers and a number of other places. My personal opinion is, once they reinstate the laws where the employers are the one going after the employers for hiring immigrants like they do in all other nations, this problem will start going down. And I really believe that the people in charge with all the money are the ones that don't really want that to happen.
Hang on, Rocky, because Sandy, yeah. I do remember. It is businesses that were hiring people illegally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's right that, for instance, meatpacking houses, there were then a number of raids at the time when they began to enforce it. I think under the Obama administration, they began to use enforcement mechanisms to determine, because the fact is that these illegal immigrants who were coming in and working in that fashion and working illegally were sort of indentured servants. They had to keep the secret just as much as the employer wanted to keep the secret. And in exchange for that, they were getting exploited materially,
right,
and working long hours and low pay, and there were all kinds of problems. And that has continued to exist. One of the problems with illegal immigration is that the illegal immigrant is outside the reach of the benefits of protection for workers that exist for legal workers. And there's plenty of reasons why we need to figure out how to accommodate a reasonable flow of immigrants, as well as allowing for their lawful entry into the country, and to assure that they receive the protections that workers have been established for workers, because it is detrimental to the existing workers in America who might want that job. I mean, the fact is that employers are having a great deal of difficulty filling certain kinds of jobs. Roofing, all kinds of service construction jobs are having difficulty filling those jobs out of the current pool of workers. So there's a multiple bunch of economic problems at play here, as well as a bunch of problems associated with welfare. And what is clear is that the laws in place can't deal with it. And, you know, people can say, well, Trump was doing the right thing when he slammed the door with the wall.
Right.
And the Title 42 was going to expire when COVID expired as a health emergency. And the wall is only going to work to keep out those who are not legally allowed in. But the problem is, what is the proper flow of legal entrance into America? How should we handle that? That's where Congress needs to act, and they haven't.
Rocky.
I think Sandy is 100% correct on that. I don't think the workers are trapped. I mean, they have to be quiet. They have to keep their heads down. They're not doing illegal voting, not doing any of that stuff. But employers are making so much money off this really cheap labor. There's not a labor shortage. There's a pay shortage. They're not paying anybody anything. I mean, I'll get off the line because I absolutely agree with the direction you and Sandy are going. I just want to try to put in the fact that this started back with Reagan.
So Rocky, I remember that as well. And so, you know, it's easy to blame these people, right? I mean, it's easy to point the finger and call them. What did Lou call them? They were
invaders.
Invaders. Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, what's the point in using the term invaders? It's to ramp up the ire and the angst that some people will feel about those people.
Well, I think Rocky's right about the enforcement. I think enforcement has been increased in this area, and it was increased during the Obama period. I don't know if it was increased. As far as I know, Donald Trump cut the line on almost enforcement of any laws whatsoever. But the problems for immigration now have as much to do with the problems in the country that these people are leaving as it has to do with the opportunities they're chasing in America. And so we've got the differential between problems in the country in which they reside and potential opportunities in America has probably increased materially, even with enforcement against illegal employment.
Rocky, quickly.
Right. If I could add one quick thing.
Yeah, quickly.
One thing we have to remember is if you want to get people to give you all their money, you have to invoke strong emotions, and fear is a strong emotion. If you can make people afraid, they'll let you rob you blind. And I think that explains everything about that caller. He's afraid.
Hey,
he says all these weird things.
Hey, Rocky, thank you very much for the call, man. Thank you for listening.
Yep.
Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.